You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, are you still surviving out there? We certainly hope so. If any listener in TPC's audience has succumbed to the coronavirus, we haven't heard about it yet, and we pray we never do. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast, this Saturday evening, March the 28th. I am your host, James Edwards, and you know, we are wrapping up a special series. TPC's world tour kicked off on March the 7th with an objective to showcase leaders and elected officials from different European nations in order to find out how our kinsmen are faring throughout the West. And if I do say so myself, I think the series has exceeded my expectations anyway. And thus far, of course, we've bounced around the globe, beginning with Professor Andrew Fraser of Australia, Paul Fromm in Canada, former member of European Parliament Nick Griffin in the United Kingdom, Red Ice TV's Henrik Palmgren in Sweden, and then, of course, last week, a very special interview with current member of the Croatian Parliament, Major General Zeljko Glasnovic. And we're going to wrap up that bounce around the world. Actually, we're staying in Croatia. We had so much fun in Croatia last week. We're going to stay there tonight with former Croatian diplomat Dr. Tomislav Sunic. He's going to return to our show in at the top of the very next segment. We have been so busy this month, what with the media-driven hysteria out there regarding the coronavirus. We were going to make more stops around the world. We were going to go over to Belgium and check in with our friend Philip de Winter, another member of parliament there, and we had some others lined up that we just couldn't get to because of the pressing need to try to, I guess, infuse some normalcy or some sense of sensibility with regard to all of the madness going on with this coverage of this respiratory illness. So that has taken up some time. We will spend more time still tonight covering that. In the second hour, I have spent more time this week working on the second hour's outline than anything else, than any other element of tonight's show. Sam Bushman, Keith Alexander's got the night off. One special series is going to lead right into the other as we wrap up Confederate history, as we wrap up our TPC World Tour. We're going to go straight into Confederate History Month beginning next week, and that will run throughout the month of April. So we gave Keith the night off to rest his big, beautiful brain, and he'll be back next week at full strength. So Sam Bushman is going to be with me. Sam has provided and presented some excellent coverage of the coronavirus headlines, of breaking those down. And on his show, Liberty Roundtable, he's going to be doing it with me tonight in the second hour. We're going to break down this week's virus-related headlines and fallout. And then in the third hour, that conversation will continue as we ask the question, what's really going on? And we'll pose that question to Sonny Thomas, the founder of Resolution Radio. He has some good takes on this. I wanted to work Sonny in, along with Tom Sunic, who's going to be coming up in the next segment. That's all coming your way tonight. I don't think we've taken a segment all month with the special series and the coronavirus coverage. We haven't taken a segment all month just to kind of go through the announcements. I got some quick announcements I got to work through. The Nathan Bedford Forrest reburial. We had Gene Andrews, the caretaker of the Forrest Boyhood Home. We had him on a few weeks ago to tell you about the reburial with General Forrest and his wife. They'll be laying in state. There's going to be a reburial that was scheduled for May that has been postponed due to the coronavirus. It has been postponed for hopefully sometime in the fall, but a date for that has not yet been rescheduled. So stay tuned. I know a lot of people, after we had featured that segment a few weeks ago, had emailed us and made plans to come. I wanted to get that out right out of the gate. Sit tight. That has been rescheduled, and the date is still TBA. Now, if coronavirus is something that interests you, I had a nice sit-down for 2 hours last Sunday with Henrik Palmgren on Red Ice TV, and here's the description of what we talked about. It reads, Henrik is joined by guest host James Edwards from the Political Cesspool to discuss how the coronavirus has spurred an unprecedented response from governments around the world. In relation to the amount of casualties that we've seen inflicted by the pandemic, are we seeing a proportionate response? Or are we seeing an opportunistic overreach by the authorities? By the way, this is going to be some of the things Sam and I are going to touch on in the second hour. America, Europe, and many other areas around the world are in complete lockdown, one step away from martial law. Mandatory curfews and freedom of assembly has been suspended in most countries affected by the virus. What's next? How serious is the virus? And is it really worth potentially shutting down the industrialized world in order to stop it? And we also talked about some of the treatments for COVID-19. So that was on Red Ice TV last Sunday, a day after our last broadcast here on TPC. I got a link to it there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. The headline, I think, on our blog reads, The Coronavirus Narrative, Curfews, Martial Law, and Habeas Corpus. So check that out. It was a nice, long, deep dive that I had on Red Ice with Henrik last Sunday. So that, let me go through. Oh, we got a big, I want to thank Buddy in Arkansas, big full page ad for TPC in the American Free Press, who we've been working with since before this show started. I remember working with Willis Cardo, who has gone on to his eternal reward now, but before I ever took microphone in hand, I was working with the American Free Press. So it's always good to collaborate with their audience. They got a nice ad for TPC in the American Free Press newspaper. If you subscribe to that, it's on page 5, I believe it was, of last week's issue. So check that out. That's something we wanted to tell you about. I guess that's about it for, oh, yeah. Dare I forget, lest we forget. This is TPC's first quarter fundraising drive, the month of our first quarter fundraising drive, and the coronavirus panic hit us too. We have had returns to our fundraising drive gyrate about as wildly as the stock market. A pretty solid start, then 2 weeks where almost nothing came in, relatively speaking, and then a very, very strong week last week, and then it sort of plateaued again. Buddy said in a note, hey, there's a lot of wimps out there, but I'm still with you. No, I know. Listen, in all seriousness, I know that a lot of people are distracted right now, and rightly so. But the show must go on. And I say again, 16 years on the radio, you always want to make sure you're not jumping the shark. But I am as proud of my work on the air over the course of this last month with this incredible TPC Around the World series, which will conclude tonight with Dr. Tom Sunik, our longtime friend, staying in Croatia tonight. He's coming up just minutes away. But I do want to remind you, and this is the last of the announcements, then we're going to get to work tonight. How's that sound? But we are wrapping up our first quarter fundraising drive. And unlike a lot of heads of organizations, unlike a lot of people who position themselves as leaders, I have never been an alarmist with regards to padding the bottom line. A lot of people, they're always in turmoil. They always are just about to have to turn off the lights, and they do that as a ploy to, you know, generate contributions. As you know, I loathe fundraising, and I wish it wasn't necessary. But I must admit that this month, with everything going on in the world, I had me concerned. Until we had a very good week this weekend, and it kind of shored up our standing. But and I thank you for that. But we're not quite out of the woods yet. We have until April 1st. The fundraising drive ends on the last day of March, just a couple of days away. If you have not yet stood to be counted with your fellow TPC listeners who have already given this month, could you do so today and help us push us over the mark, push us over the top? Please do. All right, let's get to work. Those are the announcements. Tom Sunik's our guest. We'll be right back.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, the announcements are done, and we are getting into the meat of the broadcast right now as we wrap up our month-long tour around the world with the former Croatian diplomat, Dr. Tomislav Sunic. Of course, a regularly appearing guest of ours here on TPC for many years now. Tom is a longtime friend, former diplomat, as well as a former university professor who holds a doctorate in political science. He is the author of several books in both English and French, including one of his best-known titles, Homo Americanus, Child of the Postmodern Age. Tom, it is always good to have you back on this show. How are you?
Thank you very much, James. Thanks for having me on your show, and my greetings to our Southerners, to our friends and colleagues and comrades. I'm in good shape. I can't complain. And, of course, we've all been coronized a little bit, and I'm getting a little bit tired of all those theories and all those conspiracy theories, you know, circling around about who is behind it, what triggered that, and what have you. I am pretty much your word, just right after what you had, that General Glasnovic, who's a good friend of mine, on your show, just a day after, we had a big earthquake here in Croatia. I don't know if you're familiar, your viewers, your listeners. Pretty big one, and I'll tell you, quite frankly, I was a little bit more scared of that and aftershocks than of this viral thing itself. And there was quite a bit of damage in Zagreb itself, not so much on the outskirts where I live in a pretty solid house, but the center of the city was pretty badly damaged, not so much from the outside, but from the inside. You know, keep in mind that Zagreb is basically a Baroque city. You know, most of its structures, most of the buildings date back to the 18th, 19th century. They were built by the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Beautiful buildings from the outside, but inside they're quite fragile. So I can't tell you how many billions of dollars of damage has been already made. The cost of it, but it certainly shook the government pretty seriously, if I can put it that way.
Thank you for bringing that up, Tom, because, you know, it's interesting. Our network, of course, we're in the South, but our network is based in Utah, and they had an earthquake there last week. I mean, earthquakes aren't that common in certain places. And yes, I had heard that there was one the day after last Sunday in Croatia, somebody had sent that to me, and I said, you know, I think it was General Glasnovic's powerful interview was what spawned that earthquake. That's how good he was last week on the show. But all kidding aside, I'm glad that you're safe. But yeah, so you're saying that earthquake concerns you more than the global panic we're now enduring.
Absolutely. Well, let me just tell you real briefly an interesting point. You know who actually came first to the rescue? Believe it or not, you know, people who actually flocked to the heads of helping people out, especially elder folks, were nationalists, were Croatian nationalists, the famous Bad Blue Bulls. These are soccer fans. You know, soccer is a very popular game here in Croatia, like elsewhere in Europe. And usually those guys, those soccer fans, they have a bad reputation of being hooligans, of being right-wingers, fascists, whatever they call them. But they were the first one, literally, who went to the maternity wards and the hospitals, which were also badly damaged, you know. And the guys really did tremendous work. In fact, they even received the credit, a great deal of praise from the government itself. So the right-wingers who are frequently, including myself, being defamed as bad guys and what have you, all of a sudden they became heroes.
I appreciate you sharing that with the audience. And, of course, that doesn't surprise me or any of our regular listeners, but it is always good when you can bring up facts like that, and it does go to show. I mean, not that those would, of course, be the people that I would expect, but in point of fact, that it was that, and you just witnessed that within the last couple of days. Very encouraging, and certainly a feather in the cap for the good guys.
Right.
Now, Tom, last week, of course, we had General Glasnovic on from Croatia. Croatia, the only nation getting two representatives in our world tour this month, and we will have to do it again. We will have to do it again, perhaps later this year, because of, as I said last segment, the coronavirus coverage has eaten up some time, and it's important that we sound off on this too, as Dr. Sunic just did. But I want to ask you, Dr. Sunic was, of course, the one who introduced me to General Glasnovic last year. We've known of each other for a while, and he, of course, facilitated making the appearance happen last week, and we hope to work much more closely with him going forward. But it was so encouraging, Tom, to hear a man of action, a man of discipline, a man of authority come on and tell the truth, to speak the truth in love, as our guests do. But he did it. It obviously carries a little more weight when you're talking about a retired major general, a current member of a national parliament. How many guys like that do we have in Europe?
Well, you mentioned, I guess, in your earlier comment, somebody mentioned, some of your co-workers, that Philip de Winter. I know the guy personally. He's a fine gentleman. In fact, I was the speaker at their conventions, both in Flanders and Belgium, and both in Croatia as well and elsewhere. So I mentioned him. There are quite a few folks in Europe, and I hate to say, but, you know, there is always a silver lining in bad times, especially when you have a sort of a state of emergency. It's a quasi state of emergency now all over Europe with this big lockdown, including Croatia. Because I'm happy, at least I can figure out people better. I can make them out in the crowd. I know who my friend is. I can probably better figure out who my enemy is or my potential enemy. So I guess it helps in a sense, you know. It makes me a little bit stronger. I think about you. I think about my friends. I think about Michael Hill. I think about Kevin McDonald. I'm in touch with almost daily. So, yes, there are people, except one thing, we are not probably well organized. We still got to, put together our effort, because we have the common enemy, not just the viral thing, this lockdown. We have more globalists, for that matter. These are our main enemies as of now. But there are many, many other enemies that we're going to face. And I am expecting a little bit more solidarity, you know, amidst our rank and file.
Well, let me ask you this as a follow-up question to that, Tom. So when we were listening to General Glasnovic last week in conducting that interview, we said, I think during the broadcast, and certainly if not during one of the breaks, that there is not one member of Congress in the United States, not in the Senate, not in the House, that would speak the truth the way the general did last week. And we know that there are more. I mean, we had Nick Griffin. He's now a former member of Parliament. We talked about, of course, Philip DeWinter, Geert Wilders. There are some, but I don't think we have one here. Not one in a position of that authority here in America. If you had to put a number on it, I don't mean they have to be as strong as the general or as stout-hearted as the general, but just members of national parliaments throughout Europe who fundamentally agree with us and wouldn't back down. Let's just let that be the Rubicon. How many do you think we got? Do we have 10? Do we have 50? 5? I mean, what would you say?
I guess it's a very tricky question you're asking, James. I mean, it's a matter of character. Okay, I'm pretty much sure we got quite a few of quote unquote crypto friends, but folks don't want to come out of their holes. They don't want to come out in the open. They don't want to speak up openly about certain issues because they're worried about their perks. They're worried about their careers, and I think it's very difficult for me to make moral value judgments about such a behavior. Again, it all boils down to the character issue. I myself, I guess I don't want to talk about myself, how big my character is, but I can certainly talk very, very positively about General Grasnovic, who's a good friend of mine and who's a man of character.
Well, listen, it got a tremendous review from our audience, and I want everybody to know I did already say it, but Tom really was the engine who put us together. So we want to thank Tom for that. He is our guest the remainder of the hour. Still much more to come from Dr. Tomislav Sunic, former Croatian diplomat, when we come back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump was in Virginia to see off a U.S. Navy ship heading to New York to help with the pandemic response.
Skilled sailors and civilian mariners aboard this ship will provide a critical surge capacity for the New York metropolitan area. Their mission will be to care for New Yorkers who do not have the virus but who require urgent care.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is pushing back election dates.
We're supposed to have a presidential primary election that's coming up on April 28th. I don't think it's wise to be bringing a lot of people to one location to vote. A lot of people touching one doorknob, a lot of people touching one pen. So we are going to delay that and link it to an election that was previously scheduled on June 23rd.
This is USA Radio News.
I was talking with a business colleague, Mark, down in Las Vegas. We were talking about other things. He said, by the way, I bought your MyPillow. You did? Says, yeah, I went to MyPillow.com, used your promo code USA, and guess what? It's wonderful. I've had a great night's sleep, and you can have a good night's sleep, too. With somebody like Mark, who is so incredibly busy with all the things that he does, he needs a good night's sleep, and he gets one now with his MyPillow, just like I do. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and use my promo code USA. You can buy one, get one free. Special continues on the MyPillow Premium Pillow. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, washable, dryable. Get that with any other pillow. Yeah, right. Get it with your MyPillow. Radio Listener Special, go to MyPillow.com, use the Radio Listener Special, and use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and get the best night's sleep of your life.
New York City Police Commissioner DeMont Shea says 3 NYPD employees have now died from the coronavirus.
It is in our heart and it is in our soul to sacrifice, to serve, to fight for you.
A spring storm is turning to the upper Midwest as it triggers life-threatening severe weather and tornadoes in the south-central U.S. Winter storm watches are in effect across portions of Minnesota and Wisconsin as the storm looms in the area. Snow will continue to fall and can reach the ground even when the temperature is above freezing. The same storm will bring strong winds to much of the Great Lakes region. Winds are now gusting as high as 60 miles per hour around the shores of Lake Superior. On Sunday, there's a high wind warning around Lakes Michigan, Huron, Erie, and Ontario. With persistence of above average lake levels, The lake surfaces are largely free of ice, but lakeshore flooding and erosion are of concern. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Don't forget, folks, with this conversation with Dr. Tomislav Sunich, our month-long TPC World Tour will come to a close. That special series ends and will give birth to our Confederate History Month series, which will kick off next week. And we're putting a lot of work behind the scenes. We're going to be bringing back a lot of our favorite recurring guests that usually appear during Confederate History Month, but also some new faces and voices as well that we'll add to the series as we celebrate our patrimony here in the South all throughout the month of April. Now, with regards to our TPC World Tour, I have got to give everyone, including Tom Sunich, credit. Everybody we have featured this month has appeared live. And, you know, we're talking about Australia, Croatia, the UK, and they've all appeared live. Tom is appearing live. It's past midnight over there. So I want to thank you, Tom, for staying up with us. And, of course, folks, be sure to visit his website, TomSunich.com. TomSunich.com. Tom, we talk about you being a diplomat. I don't know, even after all these years and all these appearances and all the time we have spent together behind the scenes at different conferences and events, and we've shared this, the podium and the stage at different events and conferences going back well over a decade, I don't know if I've ever asked you what exactly your diplomatic duties consisted of. Could you share that with us, please?
Sure. Well, I was basically, when Tudjman was alive, the first president of independent Croatia, was in the 90s all the way until his death. I was basically doing cultural promotion, and I had a pretty much a big latitude of talks and speeches and lectures that I was giving in several languages all over Europe, Canada, also to some extent the United States. Keep in mind, I'm also a U.S. citizen, so of course it helped me in a sense, and I also had some contacts back then. And he was a great man. I must say that he was a good historian. He was also a revisionist historian. And by and large, I could, during his life and during his tenure and my tenure, I could say certain things in public which I probably would have to think twice now, whether I can say them or not. So I guess he did a good job, and I think I also did a good job. I was basically in charge of giving lectures about Croatian. I was trying to de-demonize this bad imagery Croatia had carried over the last 70 years. I'm sure you know, and some of your listeners know, that Croatia was on the side of the Axis during the Second World War. And on the basis of that, Croatia had a very, the Croats, generally speaking, had a very, very bad press, particularly the New York Times and the Forward magazine, the Jerusalem Post, and even now there's some nasty articles about Croatian nationalists. If you open up the Jerusalem Post and the Haaretz or whatever, you will find some unappetizing pieces about the Croats and the Croatian recent history. So yes, this was a good event for me, but I've got to tell you, after his death, my quote-unquote career, I've never been obsessed with my career, but I was scaled down. In fact, I was downsized, if I can put it that way. And I disappeared from the limelight. Not that I'm crazy about those limelights. I got my books, and I'm proud of my books. I'd rather talk about my books than about my career. But as of now, as General Glasner told you very well, we had the resurgence or renaissance again of the former communists or crypto-communists, of course, who lay hidden over the last, during the Tudjman's tenure for 7 or 8 years. But then in 2001, 2002, they popped up again. And they've been running the show over the last 20 years in Croatia. Of course, now they don't pay homage, they don't travel, they don't make pilgrimages to Belgrade, or for that matter, to Moscow. They have different gods now in Brussels itself. So now they've become all big-time liberals, big-time globalists, And basically, you know, I don't see any difference. If you look at that pedigree, you just got to check that pedigree. You will see the former comets or that progeny, or the progeny of the former comets. I know them well, and they know me well. I can tell you that. And now, of course, they're just catering to different gods, and those gods are made in Brussels. And, of course, they have to make an obligatory tour to Tel Aviv first. You know, that's something very mandatory for all of them. If you want to make a career in Europe, you gotta make a detour and travel to Tel Aviv, and then after that, you go to Brussels, and eventually you gotta come and visit the White House. Oh, not the White House, but Washington D.C. I guess you understand the point that I'm making here.
And oh yes, all too well.
I'm pretty much bitter about the situation. And you asked me a while ago about our people. Well, of course we have quite a few folks. We have potential friends, but I'm sometimes, and not sometimes, but quite often I'm angry at them because they don't want to speak out. You know, when I'm in private with them, I can tell you even some American diplomats that I know, hell, they will tap you on the shoulder. They are very nice folks in private, but when in public, they will just stay away because, of course, we got all this.
Yeah, you know, and we got to do better than that. I like people that agree with me in private, but I really respect people who will stand up and do something about an issue, as we try to do here in our capacity as of course, as you've done in your career. And that's fascinating about your career as a diplomat. I mean, you know, an official government function, and it of course makes you an authority to come on and speak of these matters, the matters that we address on this show. And, sure. And of course, you've done it very well for a long, long time.
Well, yes. In fact, you know, we often criticize the Marxists, the cultural Marxists. We also criticize the modern oligarchy, the ruling class, or what we call the deep state, whatever, the social justice warriors, what have you. But we often forget that we have also many cowards, and I don't want to be specific, in our rank and file, people who just calculate a little bit or think about their perks, about their houses. But then comes a virus, this virus, coronavirus. Everything just evaporates into the blue air. So I see no reason why some of my colleagues, some of our friends, cannot just stand up and show a little bit of, testicular energy. I should have probably find a better expression. Some more courage.
No, I like that. I like that.
I'm just inventing my own words, and I'm crazy about them. I'm just writing a piece now. I assure you that's what my piece was. And I'm proud of it. I have very good cooperation with my friend, Kevin MacDonald. I just published a piece on Nietzsche and virtuoside signaling. And I love that. You know, it took me quite a while. It just dropped from the moon. I put in hours and hours. It was just months, rather. First, years and years reading Nietzsche and then putting him down and on two pages, three pages. That's the easiest thing. So basically, Nietzsche was talking about this moralizing, this pontificating on the part of the ruling class. Can you imagine? This was 120 years ago. And now we see it again, of course, wrapped up in a different attire, in a different garb. And, that really, hurts me in a sense, because I see nice people who privately are very on the same page, who like James Edwards, who listen to your radio from all over. But when push comes to shove, they just stay coy. They just don't want to rock the boat. They just want to be politically correct. And reminds me, this is what I call, James, I got to tell you, we often talk about censorship in communism. That's good. At least I could, in communism, I could tell, I could make out to my enemy. But what's worse is this liberal self-censorship, especially in American academia, the French academia, German academia, the same thing. Professors who are just self-censor themselves, who don't want to touch those two major issues, namely the J question, the Jewish question, and the race question. And I see no reason why we can't discuss about those things openly.
Well, it's almost been, I guess you could say in some ways, Tom, it's been more effective than communism. Communism, for the most part, at least outright communism, faltered. I mean, this soft totalitarianism, which is hardening every day, has done a better job for a longer time than communism did.
Okay. Now, you can have, one thing I love about the United
states still have the First Amendment. You can still carry weapons. You can have weapons. You can't have that here in Europe, okay? You've got to be very careful with that. But what's the purpose? What's the goal of having, you know, AMOs and, you know, rifles at home? Well, let's forget the AMOs. If people have no courage, let me just straighten this out. We are not conducting a warfare, a classical war. This is an intellectual warfare. We have to beat our enemy on the cultural level. And I know people, we have very many capable people, including Kevin McDonald, myself, you know, Jerry Taylor, they're good folks, you know. We have to support those guys, including yourself. This is the war we have to fight. But I'm pretty much sure there are many, many more who, for a variety of reasons, do not want to step up to the plate, or who are scared for their perks, and many, many other reasons.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, our esteemed guest, the former diplomat, Dr. Tomislav Sunic of Croatia. He'll be back with us for one more segment when we return, and we're going to get him to just cut right to the chase. Where do our kinsmen stand right now in Central and Eastern Europe? That will be the question I pose to him in 3 minutes' time. Stay tuned.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
It is very nearly 1 a.m. on Sunday morning as our guest, Dr. Tom Sunic, appears with us live here on Saturday night in the United States. And we are wrapping up our interview right now with Tom. Remember, TomSunic.com, T-O-M-S-U-N-I-C, TomSunic, TomSunic.com. That's where you want to go. In the second hour, in just a few minutes' time, I'll be joined by my good friend Sam Bushman. We're going to be breaking down this week's virus-related headlines and fallout. I think we've got a real good four-segment outline for you in the second hour, so stay tuned for that. But last week, Tom, when we had General Glasnovich on, it was a little bit different than some of the other interviews we've conducted this month during our TPC World Tour, in so much as we really wanted to get to know him and talk about his career as a military officer, talk about what led him to seek a seat in the Croatian parliament. And so it was a little more biographical in nature, although we did certainly cover some broader issues as well. But one question I would have asked him that I ask you now is, what is the current standing of our people in Central and Eastern Europe? I think we know that Western Europe, those of us in the West, we've got a little more work to do. In the United States and Canada and in the UK, degeneracy reigns. We are much, Croatia, I think, Central Europe, Eastern Europe is certainly much more homogenous, so they're lacking all of the problems that come with diversity that we have to suffer over here in places like the UK and in and the U.S. But no, the question, Tom, what is the current standing of our people in Central and Eastern Europe? If we had to place a pin in hope, where would we pin it?
Good pointing, indeed, James. Well, let me say the big advantage of East Central Europe is, quite bluntly put, racial homogeneity.
Yes.
For instance, Croatia is very racially homogenous, very ethnically homogenous. 99% or 95% Catholic. They're all white, nice-looking women, by the way. Small country. But, take Hungary, take Slovakia, take Serbia, if you wish. The only problem is, and I guess I mentioned it on several occasions on the shows, we just got to avoid our bickering and our infighting that this has been going, unfortunately, for a very long, long period of time, for centuries, those inter-ethnic squabbles and so on. I hope, this is another silver lining, we can say, that with this major crisis now, with the crisis of globalism as a result of it, of course, we have the viral crisis as well, this crisis might bring us together. Because I see more and more rapprochement now between the Flemish folks, and I'm sure you're going to ask Philip de Winter about this, and the Wallonian folks, and the Irish, Irish and the English, the Germans and the Poles. We got to break down those barriers. These are all artificial barriers. We know very well who actually set up those barriers after the First World War, Second World War. We just got to bring them down. We got to bring our people together because we have the common gene pool. We have to fight for the preservation, not just of our ethnicity, our culture, but also of our race. It's very important.
Amen, brother. I couldn't agree with you more. And the way I worded it last week, when I searched for hope, I looked to the eastern frontier of Western civilization, and that's where we are over there in Croatia and Hungary and Russia. I mean, these seem to be certainly much more our nations over here, the ones that that are standing up for God and country. They're standing up for their people. They're standing up for the faith of their fathers. Are there more, could they be doing more? Maybe. I mean, who couldn't do more? But they're doing much more than most when we're talking about national government. So, of course, here, Tom, big issue always, the border, immigration. You see that a lot in Europe. Is that a big issue in Croatia? What are the big issues facing Croatia and Croatian nationalists?
Well, in a sense, I'm an optimistic guy, if you allow me. I guess probably it's not the moment to talk to gloat over happy, good life, given this lockdown that we have to go through. But the fact of the matter is that we've been proven right and correct. Look, globalism is falling apart. People need borders. We need segregation. This word has obtained a very negative connotation now, segregation. People start respecting each other when there are borders, where there are fences put up, look around, look what's going on the irony of history. You don't hear about the migrants now coming across this famous Balkan route, right across here, across Bosnia and Herzegovina. They disappeared from the news because they're even afraid now of moving across Croatia because our borders have been sealed. And you don't want to mess around with Croatian cops because they'll work you over if you mess around too much with them. So I guess now even Frau Merkel, you know, Angela Merkel, and I could go on and on with all those bureaucrats, you know, all those guys sitting in Brussels and Strasbourg about the whole, who pontificate about the borderless world, you know, world without borders. Now they realize that you got to have borders. You have to have borders. And even if needed, you got to put landmines in order to protect yourself. Now we have, ironically, we have a coronavirus which is teaching us some good lessons about it. So in a sense, yes, I can say that all those myths, those Marxist liberal myths about one world, one promiscuous, transgendered world where we can all hug each other in a multicultural embrace, is falling apart, you know. You just can't make love to six women at the time. You got to have one woman if you're a normal and decent person. You just can't fool around forever. You'll fall apart. You know, one interesting thing, if you allow me 20 more seconds, you don't hear, you know, we have also those, what do they call them? There's different transgender spokesmen in here in Croatia, but they've been extremely, extremely tacit over the last 22 weeks. You haven't heard a word of sermons from those leftists and from those, what do you call them, diesel dykes and these different, you know, feminists and lesbians who usually like to pontificate in the major media in Croatia, not just in Croatia, elsewhere in Europe. You know? So again, the borderless world is simply falling apart. We've come to this primeval issue that you've got to protect yourself, and the best way to protect yourself is to have walls. So look at Hadrian and the Roman Emperor, look at the Chinese wall, look at even the Jews, even the Israelis, that built a huge wall on the West Bank. You know? So it's a normal, it's a natural thing. You've got to have walls, and I expect that President Trump, who, by the way, I like very much, you know, that he's going to erect a big wall.
Well, we hope. We hope. We've had 4 years. We haven't had it yet, but hope does spring eternal. And I think you have to have hope. I mean, you don't have to be naive, but it's not bad to have hope. And I do have hope, Tom. I think you do, too. I have hope that we're going to turn this thing around. And I say it very often. I don't have to be able to sit here tonight live on the radio and tell you what the catalyst is going to be and when the exact day it will come. But our people aren't going to go out this way. Now, I got to say something to you. We have a listener. Long-time listener. I don't think this guy's ever missed a show. I've missed more shows than this guy. His name is Bill in Kentucky. He said he had the chance to meet you, Tom, at an event, a conference that you spoke at in 2013. And he's a big fan. And he asked me if he could sponsor this hour of radio in your honor. And he said, what would that cost? I said, well, I've never had anybody ask. I'm texting while we're doing the interview. I said, I've never had anybody ask to sponsor, you know, a listener sponsor an hour. I said, you know, would 2 bits do? But no, I always like when our friends can come together and support one another. So Bill says hello to you. And we thank Bill for coming up with the idea. So we will say officially this hour of radio featuring Dr. Tom Sunuk has been sponsored by our friend Bill in Kentucky, longtime TPC listener. Tom, with just minutes remaining, what are you working on? What's next for you?
All right. I published a piece, a large footnoted essay in English first for the Occidental Observer, and it will be published, republished in the Occidental Quarterly. So please, I got to extend my greetings also to Kevin MacDonald. That's a great man of character, integrity, really on the front line for a long period of time. I also wrote the same piece in French, and it's a good mental exercise for me. And by the by, please, I would like to extend my greetings to your colleagues, especially younger ones. If they ever need some help, especially as far as classics are concerned, foreign languages, I'm good at it. I spent my whole life reading and writing. So please give them my website and my email, tom.sunik@gmail.com, and I would certainly like to be of some help to our white brothers and sisters, especially their students, if they like classics. You know, I'd like to give some help. Now, I published a piece in French, and I've just submitted the piece in German, and I'm proud of it, on a similar, on Nietzsche.
Wow.
And of course, in German. And I got to tell you, I've been researching this German self-denial, you know, the German you know, I'm very dear. This is I'm a spiritually speaking, I consider myself a German in a sense. They have great literature, great philosophy, I'm influenced, you know. This was actually the first language I started when I was a kid, you know, before I started learning the English language. So, yes, I'm writing a piece now, and my book in French came out, the second edition, La Croatie en pays par défaut, Croatia, a country by default. It was second edition by a good editor, a good publisher in France. And listen, I wish folks could spend more time reading and talking to decent people. And basically, I'm not trying to change the world. All I'm looking for is just decent people with some character and some stamina, and also with some civic courage. And you are the one. And I mean, that's the reason I like you. That's the reason I like you and a couple other guys, because you're not afraid of speaking out. And thank you very much.
Well, I tell you what, we stand on the shoulders of people like you, Tom, who've been doing it a lot longer than me. But thank you for the compliment. Always good talking to you. These Europeans speaking two and three of these beautiful European languages. Well, we Americans, we just all we can speak is English. Come on, guys. We got to do better. Tom, thank you, buddy. TomSunick.com, folks. We'll be back with the second hour next.